Ephesians chapter 6. I want to share with you a message that I've entitled, A Fearful Servant's Prayer. A Fearful Servant's Prayer. Ephesians 6. I want you to take a look at me with, I want to put things in context. Ephesians 6, leading up to verse 18, we see in verse 10 where we're told to finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly. I remember being here at ABC, and still to this day, even leaving here and going to seminary and taking many classes as a pastor, I will tell you the paper that I wrote here at ABC that helped me, even to this very day, was an assignment given to me by Dr. Ryder. Does anyone here even remember Dr. Ryder? One of my favorite teachers. I loved his boldness, his confidence in the Word of God. And I had the privilege to actually see his Bible. And those of you older folks, you know what I'm talking about. It was a treasure. A treasure trove, just his notes in his Bible. But here was the topic that I was assigned was to study the life of the Apostle Paul and focus on the cross of Christ in the life of the Apostle Paul. That assignment changed me. You see, I've always had a shepherd's heart for people. And I believe the Apostle Paul had a shepherd's heart for people. But I was convinced by the end of that assignment that it was not Paul's love for people that kept him going. Because he says, I'm only going to glory in one thing. And that's the cross of Christ. And I never forgot that. Because I've been in the pastorate for many years now. And I love people. But I will tell you this, the theme of this year's school year, a servant who fears the Lord, that has a healthy fear of the Lord, you will only appreciate that as you serve and you recognize that it's that healthy fear, that reverence, that respect. Years ago, my brother Vance, he's my oldest brother. I'm one of 8 children. I'm number 3. And my brother Vance was out with a group of friends one night years ago, and I'll never forget what he told me. He said he's out, and these were friends and relatives, and all of a sudden someone pulled out a bottle of liquor and started passing it around the group. And my brother, to this day, he has never drank. He said, and these were folks that he went to church with. It shocked him. My brother's sitting there like, what is going on here? And the person that had the bottle was a relative. And as this bottle went around the group, it got to him, and he looked at it and handed it off. And they looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" And this is what someone shared with my brother, said, "Are you afraid that your daddy's going to spank your butt?" You know what my brother said? He said, "No, I'm afraid I'm going to break my daddy's heart." It's a big difference. You know what they did? They dumped out the bottle. "I'm afraid I'm going to break my daddy's heart." And that's what we're talking about when we talk about the fear of the Lord. It's not, I don't fear as a believer the wrath of God. I've been judged. I've been delivered. But that fear is, I don't want to disappoint and grieve the Holy Spirit. That's a healthy fear. We're to sojourn here in fear. And Paul, you can see that throughout his life with all the things that he went through. I only have so many minutes this morning to take and look into Ephesians and share a few thoughts with you. But I can tell you what we're talking about is so appropriate. And I will tell you that ministry's hard. And it's lonely. Even while you're serving with others. And you're doing the right thing. I'm in the state of Maryland. I'm in a very liberal state. I appreciate the visitor today. You know what I'm talking about, being from Maryland. But I will tell you this. I know that when I'm doing the right thing and preaching God's word. I will tell you, at Cross Life Bible Church, we've had an explosion of growth. Even within the last few months. We've had to have two services. The second service is, we don't know what we're going to do right now. We still don't have enough parking for our second service. And here's what's happening. What's happening is a lot of people are waking up. God is shaking things up in the denominations. Around where I live, there's denominations on every corner. There's a lot of Methodists and Lutheran and Catholic. And guess what? Things have gotten to the point where people are saying, "Wait a minute, this is not what used to be." And all of a sudden, it's like, this is not right. I just got an email from a couple that came to the church just a few weeks ago. They came and visited. I got an email that night. I have the visitor card here in my book this morning. And here's what the email said. "Pastor, we need to let you know that this is the first time ever since the 90s that my husband and I have ever gone to a church other than a Lutheran church. Just a few miles down the road from Cross Life Bible Church, there is a Lutheran church." And then she told me the story. She says, "Our lady pastor is now engaged to another lady pastor. And this is like the feather that broke the camel's back. Now we're coming to a Bible church. Can you please send me your doctrinal statement?" And she went down, and it was the lady who wrote this long email. "Can you help me at this time?" Now here is the situation as a pastor. It goes beyond the same-sex marriage debate. We know that's not biblical, but there's a lot of other things that folks are bringing with them. So you better be very discerning. And here's another thing. And you better have a healthy fear of the Lord and His Word so that when you start helping people, not only with that subject, but with all the other things that they're bringing with them. And it's not just about making someone comfortable when they come to your church. Because I love my Savior enough to represent Him well. But here's what I learned. As you preach the truth in love, people love it. They're attracted to it. It's like a magnet they have never heard. It's when Jesus spoke with authority, you realize when we do the same thing in His Word, we're doing the same thing. People are attracted to it. And the church is exploding as I speak the truth in love and just show them what it does not. Here's my answer. Someone came to the church, "Pastor, can you tell me what you think about this subject?" And here's my answer. No, it really doesn't matter what I think. Can I share with you what God thinks? That makes all the difference. And so here, this morning, I want to share something with you that is so appropriate, and I hope that you take this to heart this morning. Paul, no doubt, had a love for Christ, a love for the cross, a love for his personal calling. He had such a reverence for Jesus and his calling. You know, even he told the church in Corinth that he never wanted to be put on a shelf or be cast away. Paul not only had a healthy fear for himself, but he also was afraid, had a fear for the church. He told the church in Ephesus there in Acts that he told them that the wolves are coming one day in sheep's clothing. He had a fear for them, a healthy fear. And don't forget that you've been purchased with the blood of God, the blood of Christ. He was afraid because he knew what was at stake. I believe Paul's passion in his letters is proof of his fear and his love for the church, the body of Christ. But more important than his passion was his prayers. You see, our passion will only get us so far, but where does our prayer take us? Let us now look into our passage. I want to focus on a fearful servant's prayer. And I want you to take and look with me. Go to verse 18 of Ephesians 6, and you will see what we already read. And I'm not going to, I just want to make a couple brief comments, because really what I want to get to is at the end of 18 and the beginning of 19. And we see there where we see the challenge of prayer, where Paul just says, praying. There's a challenge when it comes to praying always. And anyone in ministry will tell you that, because life gets busy. Do not neglect prayer. And then there's the constancy of prayer, praying always. There's the characteristics of prayer. Pray with all prayer. There's the connection in the prayer. Pray in the Spirit. There's the conduct of prayer, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. But what I want to focus on now is the concentration of your prayer. Because everything I shared with you, you already know. But I'm going to challenge your thinking right now and ask you this question. What have you been praying, or who have you been praying for, and how have you been praying? What has been the concentration of your prayer? Here at the end of this letter, after Paul has just shared the wealth that we have in Christ, the walk that we have in Christ, the warfare that we have in Christ, he ends, he's concluding, he's wrapping things up, and he's drawing us to our knees. And this is what he says, he's going to teach us, show us an example of what that looks like. So how does a fearful servant pray? Who is it you find yourself praying for? How do you find yourself praying? Notice at the end of verse 18, Paul is praying for all the saints, for all the participants, for all the combatants that's in the battle. He just shared how we are to put on the whole armor of God. Here we are in this battle. We're fighting together as Christians, as saints. Pray for all the saints. In this context, Paul is informing every saint, every soldier of Christ, to pray for one another. Paul's prayers for the saints of Ephesus are a great example of how to pray today. Notice that Paul opened his letter. Now, I hope you have your Bible open, because what I want you to do is I want you to flip with me to Ephesians 1:15. I want you to notice there, even at the beginning of this letter, notice how Paul said, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." How did he pray? He prayed with a heart of gratitude. Well, what did he pray? I think this is intriguing, as he tells us to pray for all the saints. He just prayed for all the saints in this letter. So we have this example. Look with me at Ephesians 1, verse 17. And not only do you see how he prayed with a heart of gratitude, now we see what he prayed for. And do you notice that the first thing that he prayed for was their revelation, for their eyes to be opened as they studied? Look at verse 17. "I'm praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." That is a Bible college student's prayer right there. Do you realize that Appalachian Bible College is on our weekly prayer list at Cross Light Bible Church? We are praying for you, and this is our prayer, that your eyes will be opened as you learn more in as you study God, who he is, what we call theology. That you would have that wisdom. And then, and as you things are being revealed, as you study who God is, he opens your eyes. Look at what we come to realize in verse 18b, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we see he prayed with a heart of gratitude. What did he pray for? For their eyes to be open as they study and learn more of God, the revelation. And then as they study, they have a realization. And then, look with me, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Now we're going to see the reason. As he continues his prayer later in the letter, in Ephesians 3, 1, Paul starts off, he says, for this cause, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ for the Gentiles. And then there's a dash. He stops. Paul has the same problem as me. For this reason, this morning, I'm getting on my knees and I'm praying. And all of a sudden, what happens? Something comes to mind. That's exactly what's happening in chapter 3. For this reason. And then, let me share something. He writes this down. Then you get to verse 14. He picks up the prayer again. For this reason, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now notice what he prays for this reason. This student body at Appalachian Bible College, here's the reason. Because you need spiritual strength. Paul prayed for spiritual strength, that he would grant you, there in verse 16, according to the riches of the glory, to be strengthened with the might of his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So we pray for strength. We pray for stability. Look at verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. He says, here's what I'm praying for, that you would understand. You get your mind around the love of Christ. And by the way, you will never will attain that. And then look at the supply in verse 19. And that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. The strength, the stability, the supply. To be filled with the fullness of God. How is that even possible? I live there in Maryland, and at one side of our state, there's the ocean. You go to the ocean, you look at the vastness of the ocean. I would take my children there, and we'd take their buckets, and they would fill their buckets up. They'd dig a hole in the sand and go to the ocean and dip the bucket in the water and take it and dump it in the hole. That bucket, when they came up, it'd be splashing all over the ground because that bucket would be full of that ocean. And that's what we're like. We have the fullness of God, but there's a whole lot more. A whole lot more. And then lastly, we see not only the supply, but also the success, the splendor. This is the doxology. So when you study the theology, it should naturally lead us right into our doxology. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages. Not only the world without end. Amen. Not only did Paul pray for the saints, but he also requested prayer on his behalf. And so look what he says next in verse 19. And also, pray for all the saints, but pray specifically for me. Pray for me. But notice Paul requested this prayer. Now remember, he's a prisoner. He didn't pray for his release. Notice what he prayed for. Pray in this manner, he says, in verse 19, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly or plainly. Paul relied on God for the specific words, for the clarity, for the confidence. while speaking God's word. Pray for the utterance. This is the Apostle Paul. This is his prayer. Pray for the manner in which I speak. Pray for the message, he says next, in which I speak, to make known the mystery of the gospel, which he had already explained there between the beginning, verse 1 and verse 14 there in chapter 3, the mystery of the gospel. Pray for the manner, my words. Pray for the message. And then he goes on to say, he says this, he says in verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Pray for the magnitude of the ministry. Paul realized even while he was in chains, he was an ambassador. In his mind, he knew who he represented and what he represented. And then finally, he says, pray also that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In other words, pray that I'll keep the main thing the main thing. Let me say the things I ought to speak in words that's to be understood. And then lastly, in verse 21, he says, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. And there's the faithful minister coming alongside him who's going to go and share with the folks back in Ephesus all about Paul so they could pray for him and have the details. But as I wrap things up, I want to share this with you that this, I know I went through this quickly this morning. I preached a message on Ephesians 6:18 a while back as I did a series on Ephesians. When I got to 6:18, I did a series just on prayer. And when we're talking about the connection that we have with the Holy Spirit, you see back in chapter 5, we are to walk carefully and we are to be controlled with the Spirit, not of anything else. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. And it's between that filling of the Spirit. Then we have that, even the warfare against Satan. And then we have praying in the Spirit. He's the connection. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God working together. It's so important. If those two things do not come together in your ministry, you may have success like the Pharisees. Who desired one thing, it was to please men. But a fearful servant is not about pleasing men. It's about pleasing the master. And let me tell you something in my life. Let me just close with this illustration. Years ago, Dr. Anderson asked me to share actually a testimony at homecoming. I forget what year it was. But I was a married student. I was in my late 20s when I came to ABC. Married with two children, had a good job. When I announced that I was going to ABC, even how I got here was an amazing, I don't have time to share that story with you. I had a full scholarship at another college. Someone just brought me down here one day and said, you need to come out and check out ABC before you take that step. I came here, I met Dr. Anderson. It was in the summertime. And driving home, I knew this is where God wanted me. I went home, my own pastor told me that I was making a mistake. Because I did not have the money to pay for college. He later called me up and apologized for making that statement. He says, look, if that's where God wants you, that's where you need to be. But do you know how much fortitude it took to address my boss, who was paying me very well? I had a very good job. To address my pastor, who I was his assistant, to tell my family I'm taking my two kids and I'm going to Southern West Virginia, to a place we never heard of, to go to a Bible college because I believe with all my heart that I was called to ministry. And what I did back then, I took out and I wrote a letter to everybody that I was close, every family member, every friend, and I said, here's, before you hear this from anyone else, here's what Kathy and I are doing with our kids. We are going to ABC, and here's the key. I said, if you would be willing, pray for us, but if you would consider, and I didn't even know what I was getting myself into. I didn't even come here to be a pastor. I came here wondering, God, what do you have for me? Dr. Alban was questioning me the whole time, like, why aren't you in the missions program? I went to the pastoral program because I was told you get a little bit of everything and who knows what God's going to do. So here I'm in the pastoral program. I'm studying. I'm writing a letter to everyone I can write a letter to. And I said, if you would want to invest in Quint Merson, because I believe I'm called to ministry, but I'm not sure. people started to help me pay my tuition. When I, now listen, came to ABC, worked maintenance. I was associate pastor at Prosperity First Baptist Church. I worked hard. But people started to send checks to ABC to help pay for my tuition. When Kathy and I left ABC, we had more, and it wasn't a lot, but we had more in the bank than when we came, and our bill was totally paid. And I give God all the honor and glory. And I'm challenging you to do the same thing. And I'll tell you this, and if you want to send a letter to Cross Life Bible Church saying I'm a student, especially married students, because we know what that's like. I'll never forget that last semester, the support started slowing down. I got to the last semester of ABC. We're wondering what's going to happen next. And in our little church right here in outside of Beckley, we had a tragedy. We had someone in the church who took his life. And his wife, Kathy and I were able to help his wife through that tragic situation. Last semester comes around, this lady comes to Kathy and says, what's the final bill? What's your bill at ABC? I'd like to pay it off. Kathy goes, we're not going to tell you that. Kathy worked at Sears selling shoes. Our kids went to Greater Beckley. She calls me up. Pastor, I would like to pay off your bill at ABC. No, I'm not going to let you do that. You just went through this tragedy. She got so mad at me. She comes to ABC, goes to the office, and says, what's Quint Merson's bill? I'm paying it. And she paid it. She comes to church, and she sees me, and I get a notice. Hey, someone just came here and paid off the rest of your tuition. She sees me, and she tells me this. She says, how dare you rob me of a blessing, number one. I said, yeah, but you know why? You just lost your husband. You're going to need everything. This is what she says to me, and to this day, God brings what she says to my mind. She says, I'm paying this tuition, but I want you to make me a promise that you will minister to other people like you ministered to me. I say that because do you know how many times Satan comes into the mind of a pastor? It's hard. But when you're not only a fearful servant, and understand what we studied, it was a suffering servant when I was here, and you bring those together, God can do amazing things.